Welcome back, beloved listeners, to another edition of Wings Over Water, Creativity and Recovery. I am your host, Kathy Moser, and I am so psyched to be here today with my friend, Sarah, who is a very gifted writer and comedian and just all-around amazing person. Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on the show today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So, you are in your journey at this point, about to embark on a really exciting new phase, going back to get your master's in fine arts for writing. And I know it's been a journey for you. So I'd just like to ask you, how do you think that, you know, your creativity and your recovery have interacted together? Are there ways in which your recovery has helped your creativity or that your creativity has helped your recovery?
I think that if I was not in recovery, I would not be able to be creative. And I mean that honestly in the most basic way, that it became clear to me that as my alcoholism progressed, I was on track to die. So, you know, on the most basic level, it was going to be impossible for me to be creative because I simply wouldn't be here. And one of the other things that I noticed but didn't notice about being creative, and I didn't notice until I had gotten sober, was that I had this myth of myself as a creative person. And I talked about all of the different types of creative work that I did, but it really had just become a myth. I wasn't actually doing anything anymore. And there's lots of reasons why I wasn't doing anything anymore. But the way that your world becomes smaller and smaller as you get further into your active addiction or whatever it is. But I had this myth of Sarah, the creative person. Sarah, the person who did spoken word. Sarah, the person who wrote. Sarah, the person who'd had a story published in the newspaper once. And so as I... Once I got sober and had more time, I started to write, and started to write more. I think we can talk about all of the different ways that being in recovery allows me to be creative, but I think the most basic thing is that I simply wouldn't be alive to be able to be a creative, or I'd be alive but my spirit would be dead, or I'd be alive but I'd be drunk all the time, you know, or I'd be alive but have no perspective on my work, and my ability to create relationships with people to, you know, make work and to make better work, it just wouldn't be there. So I think those are the most fundamental things that I see, you know, and at a couple of years sober, actually it may have been before that, I finally picked up a text that I'm sure other folks have heard of, but the Artist's Way, right? And Julie Cameron talks much more eloquently than me about realizing at a certain point, I think she drank whiskey, you know, trying to write, you know, while maintaining an active whiskey habit, and that, you know, she felt like she couldn't write without the drink, and then at a certain point she realized that if she continued to drink, she wouldn't be able to write. And so going through, you know, using the tools in that book to bring me back into a place of writing was vital. And I also, I'd had the book for over a decade. A friend had given it to me. And what I saw literally on the pages were all of my false starts at trying to go through the book. And I was actively drinking. And I could never make it past the first few pages or the first few chapters. And the contract that she has in the beginning, it reminds me very much of all of the times I tried to stop drinking. You know, this time I'll stop.
this will be the last drink or whatever. And it was like, it was the same thing, but in reverse, you know, this time I'm going to make a commitment to myself to do this. And it just really struck me that because I was sober, I was actually finally able to use that extraordinary book and all the tools in it and begin a journey towards creating again.
I'm guessing that you must have had a lot of different steps from going to wanting to write to getting accepted into an MFA program to moving down to a different city in order to pursue your creativity. Can you talk about like what some of those steps were, what some of the feelings were that came up through that process, and any ways that your recovery and your creativity were interacting through that process?
Yeah, definitely. I think and what I was thinking of when you asked that question were the mechanics of doing this, or, you know, kind of like the operational aspect, right? There's, which is just as important on an artistic journey as the work we're actually creating. It all kind of came in fits and starts. So I think the same way that recovery works is the same way that like awakening this part of my life worked. I love music, but I'm not a musical person. I'm not a performer or an artist, but I've certainly seen mixing boards. I think everyone probably has seen pictures of mixing boards. And so I always think of my progress in terms of those slides that I see that go up and down that can put in more sounds or types of sounds or qualities to the sound. I like to think of, you know, a journey in sobriety like those, because it helps me to not judge myself or anybody else in their journey. So, you know, if there's four slides across, right, you know, one of them may have moved up halfway. I've made progress there. And one of the slides is just still way down to zero. And one of them has gone all the way to the top and I'm good. And another one keeps moving back and forth between two and four. So what that has taught me is to not, in sobriety, you know, to not let the fact that I might have more progress in one area and just be stuck in another area, that doesn't prevent me from, you know, making the progress I have in those other sections. You know, just, I hope that makes sense. I just, that, you know, my career at one point was going gangbusters, but I couldn't manage my bills. But I was also writing. But I couldn't be on time and never had a dollar in my pocket. You know, I think that that's actually how the journey works. Like a lot of folks, you know, I came in with a mixed bag. And, you know, it wasn't just, I'm an alcoholic. You know, it wasn't just my my problems weren't just my alcoholism, or, you know, certainly my alcoholism didn't just affect my, you know, my drinking and my body, you know, my spiritual state of mind, my financial being, my ability to form relationships. So there was a lot of, you know, fits and starts and progress in certain areas. And in a way, I haven't thought of this before, but I think being a creative person actually was a real gift, because, you know, that wasn't dependent on money, and that wasn't dependent on a relationship, and that wasn't dependent on a job, and it wasn't dependent on any of those other things. It wasn't dependent on someone else outside of me validating my experience. Like, you know, I just had to put pen to paper, and that was mine. And once I started doing that, you know, to have something that was going well, to have something that did feel good, and to have something that was mine, that really has been one of the things that I feel best about. And I don't mean that in a, I think other people who create will understand what I mean when I say it's mine. You know, it's all me. It's one of the ways in which I feel most alive and most myself.
I've been trying to do it right. Hey! I've been living a lonely life. Hey! I've been sleeping here instead. Hey! I've been my bed. Hey! Sleeping in my bed. So show me family, hey! All the blood that I will bleed, hey! I don't know where I belong, hey! I don't know where I went wrong, hey! But I can write a song, hey! I belong to you, you belong to me, my sweetheart. I belong to you, you belong to me.
So you and I have talked about fear and how we move through fear. And, you know, again, it's sobriety, right? Like, we have these emotions. And, you know, I had never experienced emotions resolving themselves because I always interrupted it with drinking. You know, I was happy, I drank. At the peak of the happiness, I drank. So I never experienced that happiness would sort of, you know, fade, not in a negative way, but that you kind of come back to a stasis. You can't always be super excited. I'm not always going to feel that super level of joy, and I wouldn't want to, because it would be like a candle burning itself out, you know. But the same thing is true then of the opposite, that anger releases, sadness passes. But I always interrupted those things with drinking. So to go through the experience of having them fade, it scared me to death. Or that I would go, you know, I would go through experiences. I would, especially in the beginning, you know, I would have consequences that I was cleaning up, and I would just feel scared out of my mind, and have that experience of that it doesn't last forever, and having people around me to bear witness to that without. You know, they didn't do anything for me in the sense of actions or control. And they didn't make me feel badly. They just bore witness to my spot, you know, and the fact that at times I felt like I had just been, you know, dropped from a plane and just, you know, scrambling with your hands and legs. But I feel like that was me falling back into myself. And so to then have fear as an artist, you know, because I've gotten sober, I actually have a self. Because I've gotten sober, I actually have a, you know, there's a Sarah. So I have something to create from. And, you know, in my MFA application, I wrote about fear, especially this last one. I said that what I've noticed is that when I'm most afraid, I'm actually about to be most alive. And if I can hang on, you know, and I'm working a program and I'm checking stuff out, right, with other people. But if I can hang on, then I'm really actually coming alive. And at times, the experience of coming alive is as painful as the experience of dying. For me at least, you know, it's almost like when you've sat on your arm for so long and you cut off the blood supply and then you release it and the blood comes back and you get that pins and needles sensation and it's painful. You're actually experiencing something good, but it's painful. To me, that's what it can feel like at times.
Well, you know what else is like that is birth.
Right.
So, I mean, it's definitely, I think there has to be a dying in order for there to be a birthing. You know, so I love the idea. I read something once, somebody talked about the idea that a newborn baby, when it's becoming born, probably thinks that it's dying. All the information it has is that it's ending, it's dying. Also, we just recently wrote a song up at Spring Hill Recovery Center called 2 Seconds Longer. And the quote that song came out of was, courage is fear, but just 2 seconds longer. So you're about to start on this new adventure. I know one thing that's interesting and that's different for you is that you're getting to hang out around writing peers and not only have them review your work, but also see their work. And so I'm wondering what you're excited about, what you're looking forward to on the journey, what your dreams are for yourself and for your work in this next step.
I recently participated in a writer's conference at the university I'll be attending, and that was by design. It's been a long time since I've been in school. So again, that's another thing that being in recovery has taught me, that, you know, I can do things in stages so that I have the opportunity to learn. And Julie Cameron also says, you know, don't set the hurdle too high because you'll misinterpret it as a failure or that you shouldn't be going on that journey. And it really was my first experience being surrounded for that stretch of time by other writers. I had done some continuing ed classes that met like once a week, but this was a week and a half living with writers in the program, attending workshop, and it was, I felt like I was fully present in a way that I've never felt before in my life, ever. And it was extraordinary, but it was also one of those sensations of feeling like your hair's on fire a little bit, like, holy moly. There was famous poets there who were good and so down to earth, and we spent 10 minutes talking about line breaks at the end of poetry, and it's just so fabulous and affirming to know that there are other people that do that, you know, because I would sit by myself for decades, years, you know, thinking about the ends of lines and the importance, but you don't have anyone else around you also talking that way. So, you know, at some point you think you're obviously crazy and no one else spends this amount of time thinking about hyphens and semicolons. And then to hear, you know, this woman who is employed, you know, by a prominent, you know, university and whatever, you know, she has some of that stuff, to me, is important now, you know, and it wasn't before. But she does. She's a responsible person. She has a great job. She's an esteemed poet. She was a lovely person, an amazing teacher, you know, and her poetry is just extraordinary. So I was so excited. I was just like, I could stay in these 10 minutes for forever talking about line breaks. Staying up until 1 o'clock in the morning with one of the women that I was staying with, reviewing her work. It just was extraordinary. It was just extraordinary. And, you know, feeling again, like scared out of my mind, you know, because you start to see the work and you're like, oh my God, somebody else read my work. Like I can't wait until it's time to workshop my work. We need to talk about it now, 'cause I'm freaking out. And they were like, yeah, we get it. And so they did that with me, you know, And actually, hearkening back to one of the first questions you asked me, you know, it was so exciting and it was intensive. Conferences tend to be that way. But I've learned, you know, we got to Saturday and the schedule was light. And I was like, yeah, okay. Like, this needs to be turned off. I need time away, empty my mind, focus on something else,
because it all gets a little bit too intense and it all gets a little bit too self-focused. You know, lack of perspective, lack of humility, lack of sleep, you know, all of that stuff. And so I knew that I needed to step away. And I watched some of my colleagues not be able to do that, not know to do that. And so they got, you know, kind of superheated and had meltdowns. And I think everybody ends up having a meltdown in those experiences at some point. But it was different. I knew what to do with myself to be able to create that space to do that, which is definitely a gift of sobriety. I think probably everybody who creates could benefit from that, because then later on, when it was their turn to be workshopped, you know, one of them had to take a shot afterwards, you know, and I thought, oh, of course. You know, but for me, because I was able to really process and know how I was feeling and ride the feeling out, and having had the experience of riding the feelings out, by the time it was my turn, I was certainly afraid and certainly excited, but I was calm and I was present and I had a sense of humor and I could therefore listen, which was tremendous. You know, it was just exciting. I have no idea what's ahead of me. One of the things I'm most grateful having learned in sobriety, and this is really a recent thing, is I know that I don't know. I absolutely know that I don't know, which is great, because I know that I have to ask. I know I have to check it out with other people. I know that I don't know how big my life can get. I know that I don't know what my options are. I know I don't know anything about the writing world. I have some vague ideas about it, but if I can make my world real small, real fast, especially through fear. And I don't want to do that. And so I don't know what's ahead of me. I have absolutely no idea. Maybe I'll be a professor, which is part of one of my goals, because I like being connected to a community. I love working with other people. But I also know, you know, that lifestyle will hopefully then also create the opportunities to have time away, which I also need as a writer, and which I also need as a Sarah. What's that piano, the classical pianist, Glenn Gould, he talked about, he had these equations for like the amount of time you spend with people equaled how much time you needed to be away from them. I really agreed with that. His was more extreme than mine, but I'm just so excited. I'm so excited. And I really just want to make sure that I don't close the circle on myself. I'd love to be in magazines. I'd love to, I don't know. And that also scares the crap out of me. How could I ever be good enough? How could I ever put enough bricks together to create a book? But I think people do it. Therefore, you know, why can't I? I had this wonderful teacher, who said that that's what a book was. It was just bricks that built a house. So if you think of the book as a house, you know, how do you build that house? One brick at a time. How do we get sober? One day at a time. I've learned that, so I can apply it, and it's just tremendous.
Well, Sarah, we wish you the best of luck, and hopefully we could have you back on the show at the end of this first year and hear how the rest of the story is unfolding. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on Wings Over Water, Creativity and Recovery.
Yay, thank you.
All the guests on Wings Over Water offer the opportunity to remain anonymous or to not be anonymous. My friend Sarah has chosen to remain anonymous, therefore when you go to the show page, you will not see links to her work. However, she also chose to pick all the music for the program. So the first track you heard was called Song for My Father, and there will be a link to that up on the webpage. The second song was by the Lumineers called Ho Hey. And the last track we're going to go out with after the announcement is Better Get It in Your Soul by Charles Mingus. Again, we'll put links to all those up on the show page. Encourage you always to support the artists every way that you can. You have been listening to Wings Over Water on City of Angels Recovery Radio. We have radio shows on every single day of the week on a wide variety of topics. So we encourage you to tune in. And also, please, if you're enjoying what we're doing, please share it with a friend. Word of mouth is still the most powerful way to get the message out into the world about things that you enjoy. I hope you have a great week being creative and sober and sharing that joy with others. Be well. We'll see you next week.